It's the tale of Joe and the whale, and you've got some notes to look at and to follow through with. The Jonah, if you want to find it in your Bible, just after Obadiah. And next week we're going to be looking at Obadiah, but that's the book of Jonah this morning. Now, in your notes, you've got a little bit of history. Some of you like to just check history and how that fits in with what we're talking about. Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, ancient Mesopotamia, powerful, powerful civilization between 21st and 14th century BC, wicked, idolatrous, proud and ruthless, ripping apart the opposition, as it were. Modern-day Iraq, 800k perhaps from Jonah's home, Tarshish 4,000. So he put a big distance between himself and God. Well, he thought he was putting a big distance between himself and God, and I think it's possibly true that that's what we do sometimes. We like to think about putting a bit of a distance between us and God. How silly that is, because in verse 3 we read, Jonah ran from the Lord. The word of the God came and said, do this, and he said, nah, I'm going to go in the opposite direction. We could probably stop there and all go home and think, or even write a list of the times maybe when God has said, what about dealing with this? And we've said, we'll leave that till later, or we won't even bother with it. Well, anyhow, he put distance there. And of course, as the psalmist said, when the psalmist was confronted with this situation, the psalmist said, where can I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, or if I go into Sheol, wherever I go, I can't escape from you. And yet, aren't we silly? Because sometimes we think we can. As someone said to me once, Colin, it's as if we walk around with our head cut off here and a piece of glass that God can look straight into us and he knows all about us. And I think, that's true. Well, I wonder what thoughts might have been going through Jonah's mind as he zoomed off in the very opposite direction. And however, in verse 4, we read, the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea. So, as we read in that fun presentation of Scripture, the waves came. And isn't it interesting that the sailors on the ship were afraid and they each cried to their own God? It's exactly the same today, isn't it? When people are in trouble, they cry out to their own God, whoever or whatever that God might be. So, Jonah, of course, is asleep, and the sailors say, well, look, let's do something and throw out the cargo and maybe that'll balance up the ship somehow. Of course, they were afraid. They knew what was going on. But in verse 6, then they say to Jonah, call your God. Maybe your God will give us some help. So Jonah had obviously told people about this, but I think this highlights, does it not, that if they've got to throw the cargo over, that's money wasted. And if Jonah had just done what he was told in the first place, well, there wouldn't have been the upset for other people and the waste. That sort of ring true? That if we do what God asks us in the first place, then other people aren't hurt, other things aren't damaged. But sometimes we don't do what God wants. How interesting that in verse 9, he says, I am a Hebrew, I fear God, the God of heaven, who made the sea. Hang on a minute. If you fear God, Jonah, do you not obey him? So the question is, if I'm saying I fear God, why aren't I living that out in my life? That's part of the challenge of Jonah. A very simple story of a bloke who didn't listen, well, he listened to God but went in the opposite direction, which rings true for many, many today. We've taken this story, a bit like Noah's Ark and other those other great stories that you can tell in Sunday school, because they've got pictures, but maybe we've never fully understood that this is a very powerful adult story, which says obedience to God is what we're on about. Disobedience brings disaster, not only to us, but often to other people. We need to be careful. So, of course, what does Jonah say? Because he's a bit of a drama factor fellow. He says, throw me over. Actually, God said, you should have done what you were told. But Jonah says, throw me over, let me make a show of it. There are people in churches who, should have just done what they were asked, but now then they go on with, yes. Throw me over? Well, actually, Jonah, we didn't have to if you'd done what you were told. And God says, it is much better to obey than sacrifice. As he said there, if you love me, what will you do? Will you obey my commandments? Obviously, if you don't obey my commandments, you don't love me. We need to read some of these things back sometimes and read the what I consider to be the opposite. So they throw him over. Over he goes. And that's the desperation of the situation. And then in verse 16, the men feared the Lord and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. That's interesting too. Have you ever been in a situation where it's been desperate? Oh, God, help me, and I will do this, or I will do that. I think when we get in a desperate situation, that's sometimes how we react. I'll do this. And then as soon as God saves us, we've forgotten what we said. We just go ahead as we were always. Well, we know now that Jonah ends up inside a great fish for 3 days and three nights. And he's actually quoted in Matthew by Jesus. But most of chapter 2 is occupied with Jonah's prayer.
Out of my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the womb of Sheol, I cried for help, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood enveloped me. All your breakers and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am banished from your sight. How will I again look upon your holy temple? The waters surged around me up to my neck. The deep enveloped me, seaweed wrapped around my head. I went down to the roots of the mountains, to the land whose bars closed behind me forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord, my God. When I became faint, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came to you in your holy temple. Out of my distress, I call.
Now you can read the prayer there in chapter 2. I'd actually asked David DeLima if he would read that, and then he said, he wasn't going to be here. So I said, well, could you record it in your toilet so that it sounded like there was an echo or something? And anyhow, then he sent us this. I'm not sure whether Jonah was an American with an accent like that, but anyhow, hopefully we've got the seriousness of that prayer, and it finishes with thanksgiving. But this is the question. It's an interesting place to pray inside a fish, and none of us would deny there's nowhere that we cannot pray. But the question is, have you ever felt in a deep, dark pit, either physically, emotionally, or spiritually? And this is the place to pray. This was Jonah's condition when he prayed. In my distress and when my life was ebbing away. So some of you have perhaps felt like that. When you were in distress and when your life was ebbing away. When things just seemed disastrous and beyond hope. Friends, God hears our prayer. This is a wonderful message from Jonah. In the depth of that fish or whale or whatever we want to say, God heard Jonah's prayer. In his disobedience, God still heard Jonah's prayer. So we might think this morning we are in a state of disobedience. We might think we are in a state of desperation. We might think we are in a big, deep pit. God hears our prayer. How wonderful. And at the end of that prayer, at the end of that prayer in verse 9, there's some thanksgiving. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. Friends, thanksgiving is a very important part of our Christian life, even when we are in a desperate situation. And then, boom! What do you think Jonah felt when he was coughed up or vomited up or whatever? A big burp up onto dry land. Boom. I bet. Oh, those feet touching sand were just the best feeling. But, he's back in the same spot. He's back in the same spot. And is there a lesson here for us? Well, sometimes when God says, this is the direction, and we say, I'm going in this direction, God says, actually, weep, I'm going to bring you back right to the same starting spot. And hopefully you've learned something, and off you go again. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess Jonah had an enormous story to tell his friends of what had happened. I did read of a story of a man who had been inside a giant fish or a whale for 3 days, and all of his skin basically was just bleached because of the enzymes or whatever inside the whale. And of course, when he came out, it was white, and people thought it was a ghost. So Jonah, I guess, had heaps of things to tell. Now, Nineveh, of course, is the reason of God's focus. And the upset is that Jonah now tells them and they believe. Friends, we are believers with a great message to tell. Is there anyone beyond the possibility of becoming a believer in your thinking? See, these Ninevites were beyond Jonah's belief. They are murderous, they are idolatrous, they are just beyond, they are the skimbags, the scumbags of the earth. And yet God had a heart for them. Sometimes we might be putting people in the scumbag of the earth situation. They are beyond God's ability to convert. But are they beyond our thinking to share the love of God with? That's the problem. God's love hasn't changed. He loves everyone. But there are times when we actually just put some people to the side and say, well, God wouldn't be interested in them. And the other thing is, how do we actually show our repentance? Are we sorry because we've been caught? Or are we really repentant enough of our misbehaviour or our sin to change our lifestyle? We don't know what happened with Jonah. However, we are aware of what happened with these three groups of people. The Ninevites were sincere and believed. God had compassion and love, and Jonah was angry. He wasn't happy with God at all. Well, he wasn't happy with God at the start, and he's not happy with God now. So nothing much has changed, although he's had this incredible experience. The Ninevites believed. How incredible. People who were so far from God have come to God. God, compassionate, never changes. And yet, the messenger whom God had chosen to do a wonderful thing is grumpy about it. Friends, let's not be grumpy about people who come to Jesus. Isn't that why we're here? Isn't that why we're here? And then we see, I think we see, the pettiness. And maybe that shows the true heart of Jonah. Jonah only wanted to go in a certain direction. He didn't want to listen to God. He didn't want to do what God wanted. He just wanted luxury on the boat or whatever he wanted. So we've got Jonah's reaction and resentment. Depending on your translation, verse 1 of chapter 4, it displeased Jonah exceedingly and he was angry. Wouldn't it be good for us as believers to get angry over the things that anger God rather than over the pettiness of the things that perhaps annoy us? He is angry because people have come to Jesus. We should be getting angry because people don't. We should be getting angry because of things that are either set up in Parliament or somehow that sort of prevent Christian expression. Anyhow, Jonah got angry. And the question is, what do we get angry about? So, does Jonah sulk? Or what does he do? Well, he goes and sits under a... Well, he just goes and sits out in the sun. And then God, in his graciousness, grows a vine to protect him. And then the worm eats the vine, the sun comes, just continuing to show God is in control. Oh, and here he is again. Yes, he is a moaner. And as well as that, he's a drama actor. Oh, he says, it would have been better for me to die. Oh, I think God might have said, well, it might have been Jonah. I mean, if it was us, we probably would have said, oh, well, it's not better for you to die, Jonah. See what God has done with you, and God has brought these people to faith. How wonderful. But it's all about me. It's all about me, Jonah. Yes, didn't happen the way I wanted it, and it would have been much better if I'd have died. No, it wouldn't have, Jonah. It would have been much better if you'd have been obedient the first time. That's the question, or that's the challenge. Very dramatic. And then God says to him, you pity the plant, you didn't labour for it, you didn't make it grow, and shouldn't I pity Nineveh, says God. Yes, shouldn't I? Friends, lots of things from this little story, that we've probably known and thought about for a long time. But how wonderful that God gives us second chances. So when we are disobedient, how wonderful that he says, well, I'll just take you back to the starting point again and you can move from there. I haven't changed my mind, says God, but hopefully I've changed yours and you're now going to start again. Disobedience is often the way we learn things, although it upsets other people and often ourselves. Disobedience brings us back to the same starting point. How important. And then the big question, is my concern for non-Christians which is the concern of God in 2 Peter, that no one should perish? Or is my concern about me? Friends, that's Jonah. A very simple story, but incredibly powerful. If we all went away and listened to God and then were obedient the first time, who knows how many other lives might be changed. Let's pray together. Our Father, it's a simple story, but it's one that many of us can resonate with, that you often say, do this, but it's much easier to do that. It's much easier to do something else sometimes than what you might ask. So we pray not only for forgiveness, but we pray for a mindset and a heart opening that allows us to think the way you want us to think and to be obedient to what you want. Father, may we not be like Jonah and have to learn through the difficulty, the hardship and the sadness. May we not be like him, moaning and groaning and complaining, but may we delight to give thanks to you, for you are our God, and may our trust be in you, the living God. May we be obedient the first time in order that others might be blessed, and may we never put anyone outside of your love, for all can know Jesus and come to faith in him. Help us to trust you, our Father, and to obey you, for we ask it through Jesus. Amen.